Things get ugly at a massive factory in China that makes iPhones. I'm David Brancaccio. There are reports of an unruly protest at a huge Foxconn factory in China that produces iPhones for Apple. Social media images appear to show workers clashing with authorities. Some were seen throwing objects at police. Workers told our newsroom partners at the BBC that some promised bonuses from Foxconn have been delayed, and workers are reportedly chafing at new anti-COVID restrictions, such as being required to live at their workplace. This comes about 2 weeks since China's government began revising its zero-COVID policy, in some cases easing rules. The changes include scaling back mass testing and stopping local officials from tacking on extra restrictions. One Chinese city was the first to loosen up. Here's Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak.
Shijiazhuang is a short hop from the Chinese capital of Beijing, and certain districts there have been under lockdown since the start of this month. Then the revised COVID measures were announced by the central government on the 11th. 2 days later, Shijiazhuang lifted lockdowns. Suddenly, no more plastic barriers caging in residents, no need to show negative PCR results to get on public transport or enter malls. All free testing stations shut. Schools reopened. Then rumors circulated online that some parents were too scared to send their children to school because people weren't being regularly screened for COVID. It's unclear how widespread this sentiment was, but it triggered some national discussion. Had Shijiazhuang residents been locked in so long they did not know what to do with some freedom? This debate got cut short. Because on Monday, Shijiazhuang imposed a stay-at-home order for 5 out of 8 districts and mass testing every day until Friday. The U-turn happened within a week. Loosening the zero-COVID policy is going to be a bumpy ride, especially when cases on Tuesday surged nationwide to 29,000. Low by U.S. standards, but close to China's single-day record. In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
All right, tomorrow's Thanksgiving, with the day after enshrined in America's religion of consumption as a day off to buy things for the holidays. The National Retail Federation is forecasting that retail sales will grow 6 to 8% this holiday season compared to last year. But it's a complex calculation. Here's Marketplace's Justin Ho.
Retailers have some reasons to be concerned. Inflation's near 40-year highs. Consumer sentiment, according to the University of Michigan, is near multi-decade lows.
Based on what's happening in the broader economy, consumers really should be pulling back and spending, right?
That's Shannon Seary, an economist at Wells Fargo. Thing is, she estimates that consumer spending will rise. That's because so far this year, spending's been pretty resilient.
Households are going to continue to draw down some stockpiled savings. I think they're going to put more on their credit card to facilitate, you know, the most normal holiday season in 2 years.
A normal shopping season doesn't necessarily mean a booming one. Some retailers have reported that sales slowed down late last month compared to the same time a year ago. But Brian Yarbrough at Edward Jones says last year at this time, sales were unusually high.
Because there was all this pre-buying due to concerns around the supply chain in 2021.
Yarbrough says sales this holiday weekend will give us a better sense of how consumers feel about spending. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Checking markets, stock index futures are up just slightly right now. The S&P is down 12.6% since this day before Thanksgiving 1 year ago. But it's up, if you want to be philosophical, very close to 50% from this time 5 years ago. People who live in rural areas are less likely to have paid sick days or paid family and medical leave than people who live around cities. Of the more than 30 states with more rural populations, not one has a paid family and medical leave law. This from a report from the think tank New America. And only two of those states, this is Vermont and New Mexico, have laws that require paid sick days. Here's Marketplace's Samantha Fields.
If you live in a rural area, you might be an hour or two or more from your nearest hospital or doctor.
Rural communities are much, much further from hospital-based health services like obstetrics care, NICU care, cancer screening and treatment.
Vicky Shabo wrote the report at New America. She says that means people in rural areas often need to take more time off work to get care.
And yet, people in rural jobs tend not to have access to paid sick time or to paid time off that they can use for serious family and medical needs.
There are a couple of reasons for that, Shabo says.
We know that in rural communities, the types of jobs that are there, things like retail and service and manufacturing and agriculture, these are jobs that don't tend to offer paid leave benefits.
And she says states that are more rural are less likely to have laws mandating paid sick time or family and medical leave. Eileen Applebaum at the Center for Economic and Policy Research says that has real consequences for people's health.
Nobody is driving 4 hours to see a doctor about something they think might go away.
Especially, she says, if it means losing a day's pay or more. And so,
many of these folks are just in much poorer health than people who live in urban areas where access to health care is much easier.
For people who do get sick and need to take time off, or who have to care for a child or a sick family member, there are real economic consequences too. Jason Resendez is at the National Alliance for Caregiving.
The impacts are having to leave the workforce in the most drastic example, or to have healthcare issues impact their ability to work, to grow within their careers.
He says more than 50 million people in the country are caring for a family member, and that doesn't include parents who stay home with their kids. Many caregivers work, too.
Rural caregivers typically work an average of 34 hours a week while providing care, and they're more likely to report negative financial impacts due to caregiving, such as taking on debt, leaving bills unpaid, or borrowing money from friends and family.
Paid sick days and family and medical leave, he says, would help alleviate some of those challenges. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.